The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
All right, have fun.
All right, ZB. Why is the first topic here Vic Fangio hates D-Mac? Why?
I mean, the second I heard you ask the question, I immediately texted Richie. I was like, wow. Vic seriously hates D-Mac Gus.
Our text line was all,
our text line was all over it.
Were they?
Yeah. I mean, you got the one word response. I could practically hear what his eyes were doing to you. I could practically hear the eye roll.
Oh, yeah. I got that. I posted the video. I mean, did I post the video? I think I did.
I don't know. I didn't see the video.
Vic is so funny. Apparently, the according to Vic today, the losing streak is not talked about, nor is a cause for motivation. It just doesn't even matter. I guess it's completely irrelevant
that
they've lost 11 straight. Doesn't matter.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Do you think about the last 11 games?
No.
No. Do you think that is motivation for your team to try to break an 11 game losing streak? No.
I really don't give a damn about that.
Wait, do we have it?
Are you aware that you've never beaten the Chiefs?
No.
You know, it's funny. I asked a very similar question to Andy Reid, and he wasn't all that aware of it either, but you kind of understand why they're not aware of it. They've won 11 in a row.
They beat everyone.
Oh, really? You know, Andy Reid was like, somebody said something to me, and I was like, oh, okay. You got to realize how historic this is. When the Broncos were the worst they ever were, when their franchise started in the 60s.
Right.
They've lost 8 games in a row from the inception of the franchise to, like, it took them 8 games to beat the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs.
Okay.
After that, then they lost 11 in a row.
No. Yeah.
And then they somehow won, and then they lost, like, 5 in a row. But even when they were so bad, Tyler, I mean, absolutely the worst the organization has ever been, they never lost 12 games in a row to the Chiefs.
Yeah. So, Vic, are you aware that that's bad to go on that big of a losing streak?
No.
And that was, is that it? That was it. Do you have the whole question? Because the amp up to it was, like, epic.
Coach Reid said he wasn't all that aware of the current streak, the 11-game losing streak the Broncos had to the Chiefs, or in their case, the winning streak. Does that matter to you? Is that a point of conversation and motivation?
No.
Here's a good one. The text line from Levi.
No.
Vic, were you aware of Baltimore's running record?
No.
No. No, I was not. No.
No.
No. I had no clue.
No.
Then I asked Andy Reid, are streaks meant to be broken? He goes, what are you, from the 60s? So, and other guys are more honest. Justin Simmons was more honest about it. I mean, Simmons, think about Simmons. He's never, he's had a pretty, decent-sized career here with the Broncos. He's never beaten the Chiefs.
Yeah, no. fantastic personal career, terrible team career for Justin Simmons since he's been a member of the Denver Broncos. It's hard to believe that a guy like that, as much success as he has personally had, never beat the Chiefs. Unreal.
All right, let me just ask you. Would you use the 11-game losing streak as a point of motivation for your team coming into this week?
Personally, no, I would not, because what you're doing is you're holding the sins of the past over a team that they had nothing to do with that. So, yeah, I mean, of course I'd be aware of it, and I wouldn't discount it to the media when they ask the question. I know to the fan base it means a lot, but internally to my guys, these guys weren't around for any part of that, so I don't need to punish them or even put that in the back of their mind that, hey, we're not even capable of succeeding against these guys because these dudes weren't even around.
Okay. All right, well, cool. That's cool. That's fine. Vic being honest. The question is, does he hate me? You guys took it kind of personal there, Richie.
Oh, no. I mean, it's been clear for a few weeks now, ever since the biggest win of his entire tenure against the Dallas Cowboys, and the second question of the entire presser, you put him on the stand, and you absolutely put a polygraph on him about Drew Locke's COVID protocol.
Yes, it is possible.
I think it's when I put him on the spot about Gabe Landeskog and the
maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah,
that could have been. I mean, look, there's a number of events you could point to just about anything.
That's
here,
all right.
D-Mac.
By the way, Kliss gave me like this very like nice text just a few minutes ago. He's like, just keep doing you. Like,
well, Kliss knows what it's like.
Kliss goes,
he understands.
Kliss goes, I'm transcribing right now. Hey, just keep asking. Keep going. Yeah. You know, young. See, keep going, young fella.
Yeah.
Keep going, young pup. Yeah. You know, don't give up.
Proud of you.
proud of you, Sparky.
Stokely. Gosh, the panic on his face. Guys, I've been overtime for 2 minutes. I got to go.
All right. Well, off and running. And, hey, here we are, man. It's Chiefs week. Here we go. And, okay, you can discount it. Andy Reid's not aware of it. But, Tyler, I'm guessing most Broncos fans are painfully aware of what's on the line and what things have been. So, well, okay, they're not using it, but we are. But we have good news to share, really good news to share. Great to see Patrick Surtain. And he is interested in doing something, and Vic Fangio's open to that idea. Should it be utilized, something he's never done so far with the Broncos? We'll get into those details coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's the drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Text line. Hey, Vic, did you know Shanahan's serves steaks? No.
No.
No. No.
No, did you know Elway's serves steaks?
No.
No. Burgers? Fries?
No.
Yep, knew that one.
No.
Vic, did you know you were supposed to wear a suit to your opening presser?
No.
No.
No. D-Muck, your two questions were lame.
Oh. What was your other one?
I asked about Patrick Surtain.
Oh, play.
I don't know if I heard it.
I was getting a haircut. I don't know if you noticed. I'm looking pretty fresh.
I heard
Fangio's presser. I thought I heard the entirety of it. I got out of the car. I missed Teddy, but
Teddy, I
guess I missed your second one.
Well, listen, it got brought up. Somebody asked about the speed of Patrick Surtain. Oh, you got it right there? All right. So I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. So
how would you feel about playing special teams or maybe be involved with a unique play on offense?
I think that'd be cool.
Oh, well, that's Patrick Surtain. Do you have my question to Vic? The question is, what else did I ask Vic? And I did ask him about Patrick Surtain playing special teams or even offense. The reason why I brought that up is, well, let me ask you. Besides KJ Hamler, who do you think is the fastest guy on the team after KJ Hamler?
Fair question. I guess offensively, there's probably nobody else that can hang with them, so you got to go to the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
Might be Patrick Surtain.
Right.
I don't know.
I brought it up.
What was his 40 time? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not sure. And I only bring it up because they did that analysis on the return about, how
22.
Right, right. And it was the fastest, this, that, the other thing. It was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Somebody said Deontay Spencer,
4.42.
4.42? Okay. Now, okay, cool with Deontay Spencer, but Deontay Spencer is, a smaller dude, like kind of KJ Hamler, and he's pretty unique, He's just kind of specialized, although they have tried to use Deontay Spencer for some offensive plays. We've seen it in a couple of different training camps, and we've seen him try to use him as a wide receiver. It never worked out. Who was the other little guy there that was our returner back in the day? Number 11 there. Help. What's that?
Trinity Benson?
Holiday. Same sort of thing. They try to make Holiday like an offensive weapon, not just special teams, but his size was just kind of prohibitive. So when you look at Patrick Surtain, Tyler, and you see not only is he probably the fastest guy on the team next to KJ Hamler, but his size is such that you don't have the same risky things you would think as the other smaller guys that have that kind of speed.
So technically speaking, he's actually faster.
Is he really?
Yeah, I mean, he ran a 4.42. Hamlin ran a 4.43.
They're
the exact same.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Now, Deontay Spencer, he ran a 4.34 back in 2014.
Okay.
So,
well, it's a while ago, though.
That was a long time ago.
Right.
But, you know, they're all in the same ballpark. It's a fair question. I mean, I would never get involved on offense. I don't feel the need to involve a defensive guy on offense, especially a young defensive guy. It'd be one thing if he's in like his sixth, seventh year and you're just going to find some specialty stuff. But special teams is a different story.
So our guy Patrick Smythe, you know, he knew where I was going with the question. And Fangio said they would consider him for special teams.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't consider him for offense.
Yeah, no, and I think that's totally fair. That's that makes a lot of sense to me.
But Patrick comes over and whispers in my ear. He goes, like Champ in 2004. And I go, well, yeah. And indeed, Champ did a couple of offensive plays. But then again, I was told that it was just such a high risk that the defensive coaches were going crazy. And they just, you know, they couldn't imagine Champ Bailey gets hurt on an offensive play. And then he wouldn't be available for defense. That's
There's just so many things that are different about it. And, you know, yeah, of course, Patrick Surtain's a fast football player. He runs in a straight line extremely fast. But,
right.
You know, playing offense, it's different. And your body, it moves different. The agility, the things that you're asked to do, reading the defense. So whatever. It doesn't make a lot of sense to put a guy like that on offense. Maybe if there's like one particular fly sweep that you want to hand him the ball, something like that. But, I mean, you've got other fast guys that do the exact same thing as him, and you don't have to put a defensive guy at risk on the offensive side of the ball. Now, special teams is a different story, and I honestly do think that there are times that even, like, in punt return, or maybe better off on kickoff return, mm-hmm. you could put a guy like Patrick Surtain back there and you know, just say, hey, he's a big body. He certainly should be able to take a hit, and if he takes off, we all know that his top-line speed, he can take it to the house.
Right. And what we've heard is that's where they miss KJ Hamlers. They're like Tyreek Hill. You have to respect the speed, and you got a guy that can take the top off. Well, the one guy that could do that is Patrick Surtain. But hey, listen, I get it.
He doesn't have hands. I mean, he's a defensive back. I'm sure he's got decent hands. I'm sure he's a great athlete. He's a professional athlete. But it's a way different animal. When you practice every single day catching balls like Tim Patrick.
Just like a go route? You don't think he could kind of handle that?
Do I think he could catch a wide open pass? Sure. I'm sure he could catch a wide open pass. Do I think he would be an advantage, a better football player than having Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, or Jerry Jeudy on the field?
No.
Hell no.
No, of course not. I wouldn't think that either. I'm just thinking.
Or for that matter, Spencer. I mean, if you just want a fast dude, that dude plays wide receiver. That's what he practices.
Okay. Fair enough. But Patrick Surtain, I could play that answer now. You know, I asked him the question too, and his response was, we're right there.
How would you feel about playing special teams or maybe be involved with a unique play on offense?
I think that'd be cool. A cool experience all around. Hopefully they could do that sometime throughout the year, but we'll see.
Have you done that before?
High school, yeah.
How'd it go?
It went well, but teams knew what was happening because usually, like, when I'm on the field, they expect them to go route or something, but, you know, there was game planning. It ain't ready to go to win my advantage, so.
Okay.
Of course it would be cool. Everybody would love that. I mean, are you kidding me? You think Poe didn't like it when he got to throw a jump pass against the Denver Broncos?
There you go.
Of course it's fun and everybody would love it. Now, is it actually going to be effective at the NFL level? That's a different question. You know where it would be interesting?
Yeah.
Gosh, man, it just seems like he should dominate as a gunner, like probably for the first 3 or 4 years of his career. Just put him, you know, as a punt team gunner, that dude should dominate at that spot.
I'm sure he would. Would you take that risk?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what he does for a living. He tackles people for a living. I mean, that's what he does.
Listen, he's the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's a great young man, no doubt about it. He really should be one of the all-time Broncos, to be honest with you. I would think after 10 years, perhaps the conversation of him and Champ Bailey would be reasonable. So the world is just ahead of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I only brought it up today because in an offense that's been accused of kind of boring and predictable, you do have a very, very unique athlete on the team. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And I'm just, you know, wondering in the world of possibilities, would you consider doing something creative with that guy? That's all. But, you know,
yeah.
He would like it.
I'm sure you would.
Fangio's never going to touch it.
I'd love to catch touchdown passes, too.
You had a play designed.
I did.
Even, guess what? Even you had a play designed for you.
And Peyton called timeout. That's right.
I'll
never forgive him.
That's right. The special players on the team have special plays designed for them.
No.
Yes.
No? Really, Vic? No? They don't?
No.
Vic, are you happy to answer my questions?
No.
I'm
not.
Vic, when you go to a steakhouse, do you want to order a steak?
No.
Okay. Do you own a suit?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm fired up for this. Vic, are you fired up for Sunday night?
No.
All right. But, well, I know everybody else is. And as part of it, I guess, you know, the coaches aren't all caught up in the streak and nobody really cares and yada, yada, yada. But that streak started somewhere. And we're caught up in it. We're thinking about it. And where did it all start? Well, you'll hear that next.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and Dina.
Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful day. Can you believe December 1st today, Tyler?
I love it, man. Wearing a t-shirt right now. It's gorgeous out there. I got a ski trip planned. I mean, we got our pass. We always have a pass. Right. But we actually booked, like, Airbnb right after Christmas. We're worried, like, gosh, should we cancel this thing?
Is it going to be
worth the money? I don't know.
And you got the Epic Pass? I don't want
to. No. I've got the Five Mountain, or the other one, whatever that one's called.
Icon?
I'm sorry. I've got the Epic. Yes, yeah. I've got the Epic. Okay. But we're staying in Winter Park for the vacation.
Oh,
so we're gonna have to buy like another 4 days of passes for that.
Right, because they're on Icon.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And we didn't make the choice, but we had family coming into town that's where they were going. So we're just gonna go stay with them. But we seriously are debating, like, should we cancel this because there's no snow.
No, I was just up at the Summit County this past weekend. You'll be fine around then.
All right.
You'll be okay.
Let's hope.
But it's I'm not gonna lie, it's rough.
I know.
You know, it's not great.
Right.
I did see a video just about Vail actually last night. They're fine too. And that's part of Epic, and you gotta get to Vail, but you're fine. You'll be all right. It'll snow eventually. But it's great for Brandon Stokely.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, the golf just won't stop.
Haircuts. Got his one day in today. Man, what a guy. I mean, he's a servant. He's got a servant's heart. That's what he's got.
All right, we're getting ready. You know, nobody really wanted to talk about the streak today, and we'll play some of that audio, but it's 11 games, y'all. I mean, and it started. Well, here is exactly how the streak started.
November 15th, 2015. On a day at Mile High when Peyton Manning became the NFL's all-time leading passer.
Manning throwing outside. That is complete to Hillman out of bounds at the 22-yard line. That is a 4-yard pickup and a brand new record. 71,840 yards.
Manning also found himself pulled with a 0.0 passer rate.
Manning on second and 10. And this pass Sean Smith down at about midfield. And once again, Manning is picked.
While the Broncos rallied after the loss to win a Super Bowl championship, who would have known this game would kick off an 11-game losing streak to the Kansas City Chiefs? Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
Well, you and I have actually talked about this game quite a bit.
Of course.
And I know you have some very distinct memories of that particular
game. Absolutely. No doubt. It's actually, you know, it's crazy to think that I was actually a part of the streak.
I know.
I played in a game that is an active part of this losing streak for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Especially because it actually started in one of the most memorable years of
exactly.
all time.
Yeah, it's wild. And considering the day and what was on the line for Peyton and, you know, him getting booed off the field after breaking the all-time passing record, everything about it was weird. The day was just off. You know, the vibes were off.
You really got to go back to the week.
The energy was off.
You got to go back to the week before to frame this one the right way.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it's all about the records. It was about the passing records and everything else.
and yeah, the and game.
Well, we were in Indy, and it felt like it was supposed to be a Tom Brady type of moment where, you know, Peyton's got the return to Indianapolis. We were right there. We were ready to break the all-time record. It was like a dream come true out of a movie. All we had to do was get the ball back. And, you know, Indianapolis got the ball with, I don't remember.
Six and a half minutes
okay, yeah,
from the 50-yard line.
Yeah, so they take a six-and-a-half-minute drive, and we just never have an opportunity to break the record. Peyton, what was he, 3 or 4 yards away from breaking the all-time record?
Yes, it was
crazy. So all he needed one little dump off, and he was going to break the record in Indy, and it just felt like it was meant to be. We end up melting down, and that really cost us. You know, that
Do
was
you
the
remember?
Keith Tlaib eye poke. And
right.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Of course I remember that game.
Right.
But, yeah, so then we go to Kansas City, and it was a weird energy because...
Oh, it's a home game. Home game. Home game.
We played Kansas City. Sorry.
Right.
So we played Kansas City, and there was just a weird energy, man, because... We knew that this was a special year, and we'd overcome a few games already that we probably shouldn't have won. But then you drop a stupid one, and you're playing Kansas City. Things just aren't going well. You know what's on the line for Peyton Manning. He's hurt. He's banged up. He's not himself. And then he breaks the record on a really just kind of dumb play. It was like a 3 or 4 yard just dump off to Ronnie Hillman. You know, breaks the record. Okay, so for like 2 seconds, he gets celebrated, and then probably 2 minutes later, he gets booed off the field. Wild.
It was crazy. The whole. And by the way, Kubiak later did admit he shouldn't have even played Peyton in that game. Kubiak took it on himself, like, I should have known better. So let me ask you this. Had Peyton broken the record in Indy, do you think he would have started against Kansas City the next week?
I do.
Really?
Because it's a simple. Gary Kubiak wasn't playing him for the record. That's not why he was playing him. No, he played him because Peyton said, "I'm good to go." And when a guy like Peyton Manning tells you that he's good to go and he doesn't want to come out, well, it's a very difficult move to make as a coach to pull a guy like that out. And you know, you might know in your gut that the guy's not right, but you still got your reservations about Brock. You don't know if he's going to be able to step in and play at a high level. So it's the old. What percent is Teddy Bridgewater better than Drew Locke? And, you know, Gary Kubiak was battling that with Peyton. So I do firmly believe that if he breaks the record, he still does. He still plays in the next game. He still probably gets booed off. Everything probably happens the exact same way. But it's up to Peyton at that point. Because if Peyton tells you that you're good to go as a coach, you can't bench him.
Well,
you can. It's just very difficult.
Kubiak said he should have for Peyton's own good because he just knew. That's interesting. So you don't think it was because of the record?
Oh, hell no.
But Kubiak's
not thinking about that record. He's trying to beat Kansas City.
Okay. And you would have been better off playing Brock in that particular set of circumstances. Would have given you a better chance to beat Kansas City in that particular game.
Sure. Hindsight 2020.
As it turns out.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight 2020, sure.
Well, it's very memorable. The streak started in a very, very that is one of the more memorable games in a negative way in an incredible season. But that game is a huge part of the entire story of that amazing season.
Yeah, and I mean, that game stood out for me because we've got such a fantastic fan base, but I'm not shy of talking about that moment. That moment embarrassed me. I hated it. I hated the fact that Peyton broke the record and then he gets booed off the field. It was like... What are we doing? Like, clearly he's not playing good football. That's obvious. But do we really need to boo Peyton Manning off the field? Like, let him walk off with a little bit of dignity.
Who would have thought that would be the beginning of the longest losing streak currently the Broncos have ever had against the Chiefs? It ties the streak in the 70s, or 60s rather. And even that streak in the 60s when the Broncos were terrible was broken on the 12th time they matched up. And here we are. I would have never...
Hard to believe.
I would never have imagined in a million years that it would have gone on this long. Never. And I never would have guessed it would have begun in such a terrific season where the Broncos really had been dominating the Chiefs. You know, it's the Chiefs were going through some really rough times. Who would have thought?
Man, entire careers have come and gone since the Broncos have beat the Chiefs. Seriously.
I mean,
good careers, decent careers, guys that played good football. They started their career and they ended their career without ever beating the Chiefs.
Well, that is true. And, you know, what's remarkable is guys like Justin Simmons, for example, you know, has been here quite a while and has never beaten the Chiefs.
Yep.
And he did say, you know, today, he did say it it pissed him off. That's his words. I get it. But then you have other guys. You've got Patrick Surtain and Javonte Williams, and they don't know.
Right.
They don't know. They don't care. It's not part of their legacy or their history.
Which is why you asked me, if I were Vic, if I were coaching the team, would I use the losing streak as motivation for the guys? No, I'd ignore it. I wouldn't even act like it exists because these guys, you can't punish your current team for the sins of the past. 90% of these guys weren't around. Maybe they're around for one game. Maybe they're around for two or three games of the streak.
A big deal, right?
But big deal, right?
Right?
And you've got a new season. You've got hope. You've got everything in front of you. And the more you focus on the streak, the more you emphasize inside your own mind that, hey, these guys are not beatable.
All right. So that sets up the framework where it's a more passionate thing, obviously, for the fans. And you know, the history of this rivalry, which goes way back. I mean, it's crazy how many times these two teams have played each other, more so than the players or the coaches. But Vic Fangio's never beat the Chiefs either. You know, in his time. I mean, that's gonna grind your gears just a little bit.
Hell yes, it does.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll dig into that. There's also another really interesting little factoid about Vic Fangio that's out there. To the degree it matters or what it leads to him as a successful coach is debatable. Details on that next.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We are going to have Foo Fighter tickets to give away when you hear the Foo Fighters.
Is that now?
That is not now.
No, that's not now. My bad. My bad. I was just asking if this was Foo Fighters. That's all.
No. People are now going to call because
I was confusing. I didn't know. How was I supposed to know?
I'm laughing because it's just going to happen and there's nothing we can do to stop it because you asked that question. But that's
fun. Have fun, Kevin and Reggie.
But that's okay. And we're not going to yell at anybody. Although it's so fun.
It's a pretty good bit.
It is entertaining. There's no doubt about that.
I tried to get the Rockies guy that you hung up on like two or three times yesterday. I was trying to get the fellas to have that guy call in at the end of the show balls.
Wouldn't that be great?
So I wanted to give that guy a game ball at the end of the show. Three. I wanted to give him another opportunity.
Yeah.
And then I was going to have you hang up on him again.
That would have been wonderful. I'm happy to hang up on anybody about Rockies conversation. Okay. You saw this story, so maybe I'll let you, maybe you should set it up, that is. It's about fourth down.
Yeah.
And what the Broncos are likely or unlikely to do in that situation.
Well, there's an interesting article out on ESPN right now that it basically is, how does your coach do on fourth down calls? So they've got a formula, they've got a system that they plugged every single fourth down situation into over the entire season for every team. And so they've got a system that comes back with their analytics that tells you whether you should have gone for it on fourth down, whether you should not have gone for it on fourth down. And then they compare and contrast the coaches that decided to actually go for it in those situations. So number one, did you decide to go for it when the system tells you that you should have gone for it? And number two, did you have success? Now, I want to start with just the overall fourth down trends that are going on in the NFL, because it's no secret that year by year, this is going up. And back in 2012, over the entire season, there were 481 fourth down attempts. This year, let's go back to last year, 2020, in a completed season, there were 780. And, you know, from 2017 to 2020, it was the biggest jump. 2015 to 2017, it was 526, 540, 555. It was right in the same ballpark. But it was like all of a sudden something just clicked. A light bulb clicked in the NFL, and people decided they were going to start going for it. So it started creeping up. 2018, there were 611 attempts. 2019, 687. 2020, 780. This year in 2021, we're not done with the season.
Yep.
We've got 838 fourth down attempts. That's how many we've got.
Wow.
So we've got the most in the history of the NFL, and we're like basically halfway done. So pretty amazing to see the overall spike that's going on with the tendencies. And so what this formula did is it took all the attempts and it said, should you have gone for it? Did the coach go for it or not? And I found it fascinating because, all right, if you look at the list of coaches that went for it on fourth down when the formula said that you should go for it on fourth down, it's not surprising who would be at the top. Like, I don't know if you even looked at it, but if you had to guess.
I haven't, but I'm going to guess John Harbaugh is number one.
Very close. He's not number one. He's number three.
Okay, I bet Belichick and Josh McDaniels are up there.
Now, that's fascinating. So I was interested by that one. Belichick is, well, let me just double check here. He is 29th.
Oh, interesting.
Hardly ever goes for it.
Okay,
So here's what's interesting about this, because Cliff Kingsbury, he's number one.
Okay.
All right, that makes sense. Sure. He's going to be wheeling and dealing. He's got the new formula, fallen analytics.
Staley would be up there, then, I would guess.
Staley is up there. So I'll just read you the top few here really quick. So number one is Cliff Kingsbury. Number two, Matt LaFleur. Number three, John Harbaugh.
All right.
Number four. Now, okay, also keep in mind the quarterbacks that everybody's got
here. I'd say McDermott's got to be there with the Bills. I'd say McVay's got to be up there as well, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, we'll get to him. Now, number four is an interesting one. Robert Saleh, New York Jets.
Okay.
He goes for it. Basically, any opportunity he's got on fourth down, he's going for it. If the formula says he should go, he's going. So,
gotcha.
Young coaches, outside of Harbaugh, what we're seeing here is that young coaches, they're following the analytics. They're just doing what the formula tells you you should do.
Right.
Andy Reid's number five, so he's right up there. Nick Sirianni, number six, up there.
Sure.
Makes sense. Now, here's an interesting one. David Coley, he's number seven. But here's what's fascinating. Some of the names that you would think would be high on this list that you mentioned Bill Belichick would be high.
Yeah.
He's low. Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills, they're 15th. So about half the time that the formula says you should go for it, they went for it. About half the time. Very low on the list are some good football teams. So you've got at 32, Mike Tomlin, not a great football team, but a great football coach.
Mm-hmm.
Knows what he's doing. 31, Vegas, they never do it. Sean McVay at 30. It's fascinating. So, okay, we all want analytics to be involved in the game, of course. And I know that you've been huge on that. Like, matter of fact, when I asked you what your five steps would be to rebuild the Denver Broncos, you said something about going all in on analytics.
Embrace analytics, yes.
Sure. Yep. Okay. A lot of great coaches still refuse to do it, and there's still a lot of great teams that still don't do it. Now, the younger guys do appear to be going for it, but what you really find out if you really add it all up, it's the guys that have got quarterbacks. Those are the ones that are willing to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys that feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And the majority of teams that don't have a great quarterback, well, they're not willing to do it.
Where are the the Chiefs are high.
I never mentioned the Broncos, did I? So the Broncos they're right in the middle of the road. Actually they're a little bit lower. They're 21. Fangio started out in the preseason looking like he was going to go for it all the time. And then in weeks one and two, he had a couple opportunities in which he did go for it. And if you remember, the conversation was like, all right, well, I guess what he did in preseason's real. He's going to continue to do that moving forward. But for the rest of the season, hasn't really taken advantage of a few of the opportunities that the formula says that you should have.
My guess is he does it more than he did it last year. So my guess is the analytics people have told him, hey, listen, we could take advantage of this situation. So grudgingly, he has done that. However, he doesn't really have the quarterback to do it. In fact, the Broncos are 23rd in the league on third down. So I'm going to guess the Broncos are better on fourth down than they're actually on third down.
Well, probably.
The Chiefs are first in the league on third down. First in the league. So, and I'm going to guess the Ravens are probably better too, because why? They're probably in third and two, fourth and one. They're probably in more advantageous situations on third and fourth down, which makes more sense for them to go. And they've got a quarterback.
It's got to be manageable. But actually, that's applied to this formula, because the formula is taken into account whether they think you should actually go for it. It's not just fourth downs.
Gotcha.
It's when they think that it actually makes sense. It would be an analytical advantage to go for it on fourth down right now.
Well, I'd be number one in the league. I'd be going for it all the time if the analytics told me it's to your advantage, knowing occasionally it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's no guarantees. So I would think that Vic Fangio, especially in light of the fact that we wouldn't do anything different in the draft. We love Pat Surtain, which, I get. He's a very conservative type of coach. He's not a progressive, forward-thinking, new-age sort of guy. Neither is Pat Shurmur. And I think it's a big problem. And listen, the reason I brought up using Patrick Surtain is to use a unique tool and something. And of course, it's never going to happen. So the bigger question is, well, what would you prefer as a coach? What would you prefer in this NFL? Is that a trend worth pursuing? Andy Reid has embraced it, obviously.
Well, I really haven't done this, and I could do it relatively quickly, but if we just went through the list again, how many of the coaches at the top of this list are offensive-minded coaches, right? And the defensive-minded guys, where do they stand? Well, Cliff Kingsbury offense, Matt offense, Harbaugh neutral.
Yeah.
Neutral, more or less. Now, Robert Saleh defense. Andy Reid offense.
Yep. So 3 out of 5.
Sirianni offense.
4 out of 6.
Coley offense. Stefanski offense.
Six out of eight.
Matt Rhule offense.
7 out of 9.
Mike Zimmer. No, he's defense.
Okay, so seven out of ten.
That's the top 10. So 7 out of the top 10, all offensive minded guys.
So what kind of coach do you want next time around?
There you go.
Come on. What do we want here? What are we really looking for here? Oh, what would give the Broncos the best chance? Not that you can't succeed in a different way, but what would give them the best chance?
You know, it's
funny on that list. So Harbaugh, he's a special teams guy. You can't even call him defense, right?
Yeah.
Saleh's defense. And who's the other defensive guy?
Zimmer.
Yeah, and Zimmer, man. I would say Zimmer's more neutral at this point, too, by the way.
Oh, hell no. That's a defensive dude.
Okay. I'm just saying he's been doing that job. How long has he been the head coach of the Vikings?
A while, but guess what? Pete Carroll's been a coach for a long time. That's definitely a defensive dude.
All right. So two.
Belichick, defensive dude.
2 out of the top 10 guys are defensive guys.
Yeah.
One's neutral and 7 are offensive guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But D-Mac, there's a lot of good football teams that are low on this list. So there's not just one way to win football games. It is interesting. It feels like the younger movement is going in that direction. And the NFL, generally speaking, they're following the analytics more than ever. So that's the most fascinating part, not necessarily each individual coach. But we're right here at this point in the season, there's 838 attempts. Previously, the record over an entire season was 780.
Wow.
And we got a long ways to go.
And one of those guys, it's not about his age. It's about how he's thinking, and that's Andy Reid. We'll hear from him coming up next.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.